Well, happy Thursday to you. Welcome to Northwest Washington's only local live liberal progressive program here on the Progressive Voice of the Pacific Northwest, AM 930 Progressive Talk, KBAI. We start with our wild places, and we have less and less wilderness here in the United States, and there are those who think that it should all be completely opened up to energy exploration if there's a chance that we could find fossil fuels there. But my guest says, not so fast. Bob Ickey is Energy Campaign Director at the Wilderness Society. And, Bob, welcome to the Joe Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and I would agree with your folks' contention that there are some places, some wild places, that should be off limits to oil drilling, oil exploration, that kind of energy extraction.
Yeah, Joe, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, particularly in Alaska and the West, a lot of our public lands are available for oil and gas development. And we've taken on the Bureau of Land Management and others at times because they've chosen to allow development in places that we think are just too wild to drill. They have high conservation values, high wildlife values, high recreation values. And, you know, we are trying to push back on that. So we periodically issue a report called Too Wild to Drill. And, this year just recently issued one that has six places in the West in Alaska that we highlight, just to help educate the public on what, some of the threats are to some of our wildest places. We're trying to seek some balance. I mean, there's going to be some energy development off our public lands, but we want to narrow the footprint of that development to places that have less conservation value or recreation value, and then still at the same time protect places that have these other high values.
Yeah, probably one of the most most famous or to some maybe infamous places that you're talking about is the ANWR, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska.
Yeah, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is one of the largest undisturbed landscapes left on the planet. And it's got high values there for not only wildlife, but for some of the Alaska Native communities who depend on subsistence for their livelihood. You know, I've been up to the North Slope of Alaska and talked to some locals up there, and they'll say that 70% of their food comes from the natural world, whether it's the ocean or on land. And so we're working to protect the wildlife refuge. It's been in the sights of the oil industry for a long time. This last January, President Obama helped our cause a lot by recommending the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, the entire refuge, be designated as wilderness. Right now, only about a third of the refuge is designated wilderness. This would protect it from the threat of oil and gas development even further than it is today. So, but there are those people in Congress and, right now there's six active bills to open up the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil and gas drilling. This is an area that's just located just east of Prudhoe Bay where there's been a lot of development. And if you go to Prudhoe Bay, you'll see that it's just an industrialized area. You know, there's a lot of truck traffic, there's a lot of pipelines, there's a lot of nightlights, and it's just not at all similar to the wild country that's just to the east of it.
Yeah, and this country is crucial to so many species and their ability to reproduce and to forage for food and that sort of thing. I mean, without these wild places, those species really are in a bad place, like you say. I mean, a lot of folks who advocate for drilling, they say, oh, the caribou, they herd right next to the pipelines and this sort of thing. But as you say, there's so much disruption to their habitat.
Well, and that's especially true, Joe, as climate change escalates. And, you know, the climate change, the Arctic is warming twice as fast as any other place in the United States. And, you know, the one way to have resilient landscapes is to have the largest connected landscapes we can have, so that the wildlife can respond to the changes that climate change brings.
Now, some of these other spots, areas in Colorado, in Montana, in Utah, are these places designated wilderness or no?
No, they're not. You know, Montana's Badger Two Medicine Country is just adjacent south of Glacier National Park. And it's on the east side of the park. It's where the Great Plains actually collide with the mountains, you know, and it's a rich, rich wildlife area. It's part of an area we call the Rocky Mountain Front here in Montana. And it's spectacularly wild. There were some leases issued there when James Watt was Secretary of Interior that we've been contesting legally for decades now. And there's a company that has escalated some of that litigation and wants to get permission to drill there. In addition to the wild values there, this is the home of the Blackfeet tribe, the nation. And this is where their creation stories are from. And so for them, it's very culturally and spiritually significant. And so we've partnered with the Blackfeet to try and bring extra protection to this land. We were successful in 2006 in getting this land withdrawn from further oil and gas leasing, but still there's 43,000 acres of existing leases that the industry wants to pursue. So we're challenging them right now. We're asking the Department of Interior and Department of Agriculture to withdraw those old leases and allow us to put a layer of protection over that area. We were able, just south of there, to get a new wilderness designated along the Rocky Mountain Front that passed Congress last December. So there's a lot of great bipartisan support for protecting these places, and we just need to get the administration to act on this one.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the representatives, the congressional delegations from these states. Are they, by and large, supportive, or are they, are they adversaries in what you're doing?
You know, it's a mix. It depends upon the state. It depends upon the delegation member themselves, you know. And in some places, you get strong support, bipartisan support. I mean, in Montana, I'm based in Bozeman, Montana. In Montana last year, we had two bills that passed with bipartisan support to protect places. In Alaska, the congressional delegation wants to pursue drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. In Utah, we're getting opposition to protecting the Bear's Ears lands, which are in the southeastern part of the state. That's another interesting example, Joe, of us partnering with Native American tribes to try and protect an area. Those desert canyons in Red Rock Country of southeastern Utah are, you know, great natural areas, but they're also just really special places in terms of cultural significance for the ancient ones, the Anasazi and so forth, and there's a lot of cliff dwellings there. Those people were there 1,000 years ago. They didn't write their history in history books. They wrote it on the walls of the canyons and in caves and underneath arches. And a lot of that is being threatened now by oil and gas and mining interests. And we want to get some level of protection for that Bear's Ears country, which is in southeastern Utah, south of Canyonlands National Park, all the way down to the southern border of the state.
Yeah, yeah, I remember, well, you know, when a lot of this exploration, it involves, the seismic exploration, these big trucks that, shake the earth, in essence, to find out what might lie below the surface. And I remember a discussion about this even during the Bush administration when they were opening up more public lands and in some of these really delicate areas. So it was with, some of this geology that's really delicate, the arches and these types of things that you find out in these unique formations you find in the West that could very well be shaken apart by some of these things.
Well, and, you know, Joe, if they do, after the exploration, get the green light for development, you know, a lot of times that when an oil or gas field is developed, it becomes a single use on the land. I mean, these lands are supposed to be managed for multiple use. But once you get this kind of development, it's so heavily eroded, and you know you've got the drill pads, the pits for wastewater, and so forth and so on. And so it's clear we've had a lot of studies in Wyoming where oil and gas development has occurred, and it shows how wildlife is displaced, wildlife migration corridors are interrupted. You know, so there is an impact on the land, and what we're asking is that the agencies that manage these lands really focus on, when they look at the land first, look at where the conservation needs to be accomplished, and where development can occur with the least amount of impacts. Right now, 90% of the Bureau of Land Management land across the West is open to oil and gas leasing. And the way the system works, the industry just nominates places, and then they process it, and then they go to issue a lease. There might be some controversy during that stage. But, you know, what we want them to do is stop making these lands just open for that kind of nomination process and have the agencies decide, you know, with input from the public, what needs to be protected, what values need to be protected, and so forth. I mean, over the last 40 or 50 years, we've seen this great trend of much more interest in these public lands for recreation values, hunting, fishing, camping, you know, for wildlife, for water quality, for all sorts of different things. And so while it was industry dominated a half century ago, it's time for the agencies to catch up with where the American public is today, where they really want these lands managed for the wide array of values that are there.
Yeah. What can people do? Contact their representatives?
Yes, well, you know, we have, they can go on the Wilderness Society's webpage, which is www.wilderness.org. We have an alert system, and we'll let people know when it is timely and on what issues they can engage in. And then they can actually engage either in the place-based things or, you know, when national policies are in place. One part of our Too Wild to Drill report this year, that we wanted to highlight is that there were a lot of success stories from previous reports, places that were once threatened that because people engaged, because people rallied and really, you know, impressed upon the importance of elected officials, that we got places protected. That includes this Rocky Mountain Front that I referred to earlier that's adjacent to the Badger II Medicine Country, the Rhone Plateau, the Wyoming Range in Wyoming. You know, we had a bipartisan support there from a largely Republican delegation that withdrew 1.1 million acres of the Wyoming Range from future oil and gas leasing. A couple of years ago, we highlighted the George Washington National Forest near Washington, D.C., where there was an effort by industry to do a lot of fracking around there, and they decided to disallow any more leasing on that forest. So if people engage, they can make a difference. And that's so important right now where people are so cynical about the government. But if we organize people and we get them to the right place at the right time, we can really help move these things forward.
Very good. Once again, it's wilderness.org. And Bob Eakey, you know, Energy Campaign Director for the Wilderness Society, thanks for being with us and making us aware of this campaign. Appreciate your time.
Joe, thanks a lot for your interest and your audience, too.